We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. My name's Tina Dobbs. I'm sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there riding the iPad. And our guest this morning is our sister, Renee Kilhofer. It's so good to see you this morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good.
I'm excited to see you.
Excited to be here.
You have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do a record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get it uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church. It's a mile and a half past Tractor Supply, Pastor Chasta Music. I think that's it. Please like, share, and comment to let us know that you're listening with us this morning, even if it's the replay. Okay. I think I covered it all now. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we have together, and we just give it to you. And we just ask you to do what you do, Father. Open our hearts to receive and our ears to hear, and help us to get from you what you have for us today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Contracts and Covenants.
Yes, we have been doing a Bible study on the book of Romans, and so we got into covenants a little bit, and I just kind of went back and started studying some more things about it because it was so interesting. So that's where this came from today. I was telling my husband the other day, he was like, you really like to write, don't you? Because I like write everything down. And I've tried doing it on the computer, and it's just not the same feel. You know, I just love the way the ink feels on the paper and just writing longhand. And I was like, yes, I love writing down all these things I'm discovering. And as soon as I get finished, then I want to tell somebody what I just found out. So I'm very excited to be here this morning. So we're going to talk about contracts and covenants. And really, they're two very different things. Because one says, I will, versus if you. And one says, I promise, versus I agree. So one is forever, the other is limited by time, and is easily terminated. Mm. So in the 1928 dictionary, a contract is defined as an agreement between two or more persons in which each party binds himself to do or forbear some act, and each acquires a right to what the other promises. And so the key components of a contract are kind of as follows. All contracts are performance-based. Mm. If one party doesn't live up to their end of the agreement, they could lose the deal altogether or even wind up in court. Contracts are time-bound. They must have a time limit. And this time limit gives a deadline to evaluate the performance of both parties. After this deadline, both parties usually have options to either sue, terminate, or renegotiate the contract. And without a time limit, there is no way for a judge to determine if someone will actually perform the contract. Contracts also include clauses. And they're kind of known as if-then type clauses. And so one party must do something for the other party. And if then that one party fails to perform, the other party has options here to sue or terminate or renegotiate the contract. So in practice, clauses are put into contracts to add special conditions under which a party can remove themselves. So a good example of this is like when you buy a home and you have an inspection. So the buyer inspects the property and he is able to terminate the contract and walk away without consequence if the property doesn't live up to his expectations. So that's kind of a good example of the clause there. And then also contracts require a signature. All parties have to sign the contract before it's enforceable. Their signature is a sign that the deal is agreeable and that they accept responsibility for it. Now, in contrast, in the 1828 dictionary, a covenant is defined as to grant or promise. So the key components of a covenant are really different than a contract. A covenant is one-sided. Whether the other party lives up to their agreement or not has nothing to do with the promise. The promise is available for anyone that will accept the conditions of the covenant. A covenant is forever. It is not bound by a time limit and is not terminated if the other person fails to live up to their obligations. That's really cool. It also has a sign. It has an outward sign of acceptance. And biblically, that meant a sacrifice of something. And that it had to be something of value, and that solidified the agreement or the promise. So in the Bible, we see five covenants. We see the covenant with Noah in Genesis chapter 9, never to flood the earth again. The covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, which was the blessings to him for generations. We see the covenant of a holy nation with Moses in Exodus chapter 19, a covenant of royalty with David in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and then, of course, Jesus is the new covenant, and we see that all over the Bible, Jeremiah 31, Luke 22, Hebrews 7. So from these five biblical covenants, we see the one-sided agreement where one party promises to do certain things forever. Mm-hmm. So the big difference is even though a commitment is asked of the other party, their fulfillment of this commitment does not affect the covenant. That's a key difference. So instead of if then, as in if you do this, then I will do this, a covenant says, I will do this no matter what. Mm. So when Israel failed to live up to their side of the covenant, and we see through Scripture that they failed often, God did not abandon his side of the covenant. He continued on. So in Israel's case, they often fell out of a relationship with God. And as part of the covenant, he was always there waiting for them to return. But it was their heart that was turned away from him. So, contract versus covenant. This is why it matters. Because when you understand the difference between contracts and covenants, you understand in greater detail what God is actually offering you through salvation. Because a contract says, if you do these things, then we'll complete the transaction and move on. However, if you don't, then I'll terminate this contract and I will seek to hurt you, as in sue or take to court or whatever. But a covenant says you only need to do these things in order to receive this promise. Should you fail to do these things, there might be consequences, but you can always come back and receive the benefits of the promise. I think that's so cool because this is, you know, legally. So let's look at Romans verses 10, 9, and 10, and this is in the New Living Translation. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart with God, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So, in other words, a contract is performance-based, and a covenant is acceptance-based. So another way to say it might be, a contract is transactional, and a covenant is relational. It gets better. And these differences matter because it matters that you know that you don't have to be good enough to earn salvation. Because salvation is a gift, if you will, a covenant to be accepted. And we know from the Word that salvation is not performance-based. We cannot do anything to be good enough.
That's right.
It's only by the blood of Jesus that we are justified and made righteous in the sight of God. Nothing we ever do on our own. So that's really cool because you don't earn the covenant, you accept the covenant. I think that's cool. Now, Old Testament covenants had commandments, but the New Testament covenant only has one requirement, and that's to believe. Believe. Now, I think it is interesting to note the word contract is never mentioned in the Bible, ever. Mm-hmm. But the word covenant is mentioned over 300 times. And I think that's really important to mention, because in our culture and our society, we have really evolved into a contract society. Everything we do is, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. Mm-hmm. And if at any moment you stop meeting my need, then this is over. We're done. And so I think it's interesting that contract is never one time mentioned in the Bible. There is never a place in the Bible where God said, if you do this, then you can be saved. Or if you do this, you know, then you can have my promises. He knew from the beginning we couldn't do it. You know, he created us. He knew that as human beings, we could never do it. And so I love that there's no contract in the Bible, but it's all covenant. I think that's cool because contracts are motivated by the desire to get something. But covenants are initiated for the benefit of the other person. And, you know, I think about even like in a neighborhood, you know, you'll have covenants in a neighborhood sometime. And especially if you're in like an HOA. Well, those covenants are things that you agree to do to the benefit of all your neighbors. You know, you agree to keep your lawn mowed. You agree not to have a broken down car in your driveway for months at a time. You know, you agree to, in some places they're very strict, you agree to plant red flowers in your flower bed, or mm-hmm. you know, there are very strict covenants. You agree that your house will be brick and that your trim will not be a certain color, you know, but it's for the benefit of your neighbor's property values. So, and it's a very good example because if your neighbor does not uphold their end of the covenant, it doesn't release you from upholding your promise to fulfill this. So if my neighbor paints their trim purple and the covenant says they can't do that, it doesn't mean that I no longer bear a responsibility to fulfill my promise. And that's how it is with God. You know, he made the promise to us. And even though I don't always uphold my end of the bargain in honoring him and pleasing him, he never steps back from what he promised me, because that's who he is. He's faithful and just and holy, and we can bank on that, so to speak. It's cool. It's really cool. So it's interesting also that God calls marriage a covenant. I think that's really cool. It's not a contract. Matthew chapter 19, verse 6 says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." So this is a reminder that marriage is a covenant initiated by God, which we agree to join into. So it's a covenant that we are accepting and we agree to be a part of. When we commit to a covenant marriage, we are joining our hearts together in a supernatural way that only God can orchestrate. And I think a lot of times we go into marriage, we view it more as a contract, especially in the society that we live in today. I mean, we start with an escape clause, because many marriages will start with a prenup agreement. So here's my escape clause before I ever get into it. So if you do not uphold your end of the bargain, then I can divorce you, and this is what I can do to you. And we make those agreements before we ever go into a marriage. And I think when you do that, it's doomed to fail from the start. Mm-hmm. It's not biblical. It's not spiritual. It's not even wisdom. Because if you have that much to protect and you are so concerned that this might fail and you're going to lose something, then this is not the person you're supposed to marry. Come on. It's that simple. It's that simple. And that, I know that's a hard pill for some people to swallow, because, you know, oh, but I love this person. And, you know, after we're married a while, and he sees what a good wife I am, this won't matter so much. It will always matter. You know why? Because that's a tool from the enemy. And you have just given him free rein to use it in your life until you die. And even if you do wind up divorced from this person, and all of those consequences that you agreed to ahead of time are carried out, then he is still going to haunt you with that. That's when you're going to, if you haven't already, be reinforced that I'm not good enough, I'm not worth anything, I have no value. It's just a tool that you've given Satan free rein to use in your whole life. And so I don't know if there's anybody out there listening that's in that situation, or you know somebody in that situation, but I would literally beg you to not do it. Walk away, because God has something better for you, because you are worth everything. You were worth so much, he gave his son to die for you. And so if you are not worth this man's stuff, walk away, because it's his problem, not yours. That's not how God sees you. And God is going to send you someone who will treasure you and withhold nothing in a covenant marriage. Here's the difference. The differences between a covenant marriage and a contract marriage. A contract says, I take you for me. A covenant says, I give myself to you. contract says, you do this for me. The covenant says, how can I serve you? The contract says, what do I get? The covenant says, what can I give? The contract says, I will meet you halfway. The covenant says, I'll give you 100% plus. The contract says, I have to. The covenant says, I want to. Don't settle for less than a covenant marriage. And I would say, make sure your partner understands that. And if you possibly can, do some premarital counseling with a Christian counselor or minister who can explain the difference between contracts and covenant and what God expects from marriage. Because it's a lot. And if you're not up for that, don't do it. Just don't do it. And, you know, we talk a lot in the church about having a covenant marriage. I mean, I've heard that word thrown around for years, but I don't know that I fully understood it. But we may even go into it with the mindset that we're going to have a covenant marriage. But I think sometimes one party goes into it with that mindset and the other one doesn't, because there's not a clear understanding of what that means. But a lot of times, you know, we do go into it thinking we have an understanding and we're going to have a covenant marriage and our relationship's going to be different. But the minute that our needs are not met, we immediately begin viewing it all as contract. Whoa, wait. You know, I might have said that I was agreeing to a covenant, but I meant contract because you are hurting my feelings. And so we start looking for that exit clause immediately. And I think, you know, a lot of the generations before us had a better understanding of covenant. Mm-hmm. And we've kind of reduced it to saying they honored their commitment. But what they did was they really made a covenant with this person. And that's why we saw these marriages that made it through 50, 60, 70 years. You know, my parents are on year 67 because they understood they were making a covenant. And so I am going to do my best for you regardless of what you do for me. You know, and when both parties are doing that, guess what? Both parties are taken care of. So you shouldn't ever have to go back with, you know, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. Because if you're both giving 100% plus, then that frees you up, you know, for your needs to be met as well. So I know we're about halfway through the hour already. And so it's probably a good time to take a break, because I want to talk about a different type covenant when we come back.
It's so cool that you brought this message this morning, because just this morning, whenever I was having coffee with my Jesus, I was just, I don't know, I just was kind of pouring my heart out, you know. I have been going through a time of wanting to quit. Just feeling really tired. And just ready. I'm just going to be really transparent and honest right now. I've just been wanting to lock down. And I've been battling locking down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've been taking it all to the Lord. And this morning, I just sat there with my coffee and I said, Lord, I don't care about pleasing other people. I want to please you. Yeah. Bottom line, I don't care anymore about pleasing other people.
I just want to please you. I want to be pleasing to you, God, to you. And this morning the thought came, and I usually fast during breakfast. And this morning I woke up really hungry. Mm-hmm. And the thought came, sausage McMuffin. Oh yeah, that sounds really good. That sounds so good, Lord, and I'm real hungry. And leave a little early this morning. Okay. So I got up, got ready, and I left. And on the way here, as I was coming up, I think it's Highway 6, that main road that comes in from 152. Mm-hmm. I was coming up that road, and I passed the golf course and all that, and I look over and I seen two guys walking with a gas can. And the Lord just said, you see them walking? Yes, sir. So I went down to the 66, turned around and went back. Stopped, picked them up. Mm-hmm. One of them just got out of county jail. I don't know. It wasn't Beckham County. I don't know what county, but anyway.
So you only do that unless the Holy Spirit. I mean, what? Don't do that unless the Holy Spirit, yes, says, hey, you need to do this.
Yes. And make sure it's him, okay? Yeah. Because if it's him, you're covered.
That's right.
Okay? You're anointed and appointed to do that.
Exactly.
So I picked him up, and we went down. And we pulled up, and they was real thankful and stuff. And I'm just being quiet, you know, because I'm not hearing anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm just quiet. And we start to head back. And, well, when we got there, I was like, so how far back are you guys? They said about a mile and a half. I said, okay, I'll wait on you, and I'll take you back. And they was real thankful and stuff. And they did what they needed to do, and I took them back. And on the way back, the one guy who had got beat up, got jumped in county, was really appreciative and was expressing it, you know, telling me. And I just looked at him, and I said, well, if I'm going to be honest, I got to tell you right now, I'm not a nice person. I am not a nice person. And the only reason I turned around was because God told me to turn. God said, you see them guys walking. And I knew when he says, do you see them guys walking? He didn't have to tell me.
Yeah.
When he said those words, I knew in my spirit what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at him and I said, don't thank me, man. Thank God, because I ain't a nice person. And if it wasn't for him pointing y'all out, I wouldn't have turned around, because I was on my way to McDonald's for a sausage McMuffin, man. And the Lord just, as you were talking, he said, that daughter of mine is what's pleasing to me. So quit doubting that you're pleasing to me, because all my children are pleasing to me. Mm-hmm. Even though I may not like some of the choices, mm-hmm, and some of the decisions, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I am pleased.
That's good.
And I would just, yeah,
that's good.
So he encourages me when I feel the way I was feeling. Mm-hmm. He is so faithful and loving to not just tell me, but show me. Mm-hmm. Look, mm-hmm, that's what pleases me. because you listen when I speak, and your willingness to be obedient is what's pleasing to me.
That's good. That's good.
I do have one prayer request.
Okay.
Bree and her son, who have been to ER 3 times in the last 4 days. He's been vomiting, and this morning ER visit is because a rash developed. Praying they get answers.